Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we talk about some cultural stories this hour, and I ask the question, are we winning, losing, or have lost the culture war? We explore that throughout this episode. I want your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's an important and provocative question that the race lady from MSNBC asks, and I'd love your thoughts, because if we're honest, we definitely have some work to do. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Look, there's little things that happen that sometimes add up to bigger things. And I'm sure you share the anger, the disgust, the frustration, the feeling, quite honestly, of collective humiliation that so many of us felt these last couple days as our greatest enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, trolled us in real time by floating a balloon across America. And we reluctantly seem to shoot it down once it's over the water after it's taken imagery of all of our key military installations. We didn't immediately shoot it down. And so many of us were wondering, what country am I living in? Is this, are we seeing the real-time decline of America? In some ways, yes. But let's put the balloon story kind of on the shelf for a second. Why is it also normal for us just to allow thousands of illegals to come into our country every single day, carrying fentanyl, many of them, that will then kill our own citizens? Over 100,000 drug overdoses every single year, 30 to 40,000 of them attributable to Chinese-laced fentanyl. Millions of people are able to come across the southern border, either by running past Border Patrol or just walking up and saying the right magic words, and abracadabra, they are allowed to come into the country. Why is it normal that San Francisco is allowed to let criminals just loot stores whenever they want? Why do we let rioters run wild in dozens of cities to burn down Wendy's in the honor of George Floyd or whatever their kind of reverent symbol is? Where does this all come from? Well, believe it or not, it's related to a short segment we did yesterday. It's related to the Grammy Awards on Sunday. And I'm not joking when I say this. To do something like to enforce a border, or to arrest a shoplifter, or to shoot down an invading balloon, you have to believe in an objective moral order. You have to believe that civilization is superior to barbarism. You have to believe that laws are superior to chaos. You have to believe that when laws are followed, human beings flourish, and when they are broken, you should be punished. You have to believe in the goodness of the society and the need to preserve that society, and if necessary, by force, a small but strong government. But that sense of civilizational right and wrong has been destroyed. We have a moral order where when somebody robs a store or trespasses a border, the first action of those in power is to look at how society is to blame. It's not the criminal's fault. It's not the thug's fault. It's the racism, the misogyny, the homophobia, the colonialism. It's the societal structure that is to blame, not the human being himself or herself. They want to excuse or enable destructive behavior rather than stop it. And that same impulse is exactly why you see the pervasive, satanic, creepy imagery in the Grammys. It isn't beautiful, it's not uplifting, and the people creating that imagery all know it. All of its power comes from being repulsive and repugnant to everything good. So I'm going to replay this just for those of you that have not seen it. You guys can keep my mic active, guys, okay, while you play this. So just play the B-roll of cut 15. This is Sam Smith, who is an A-list artist. This is performing at the Grammys on primetime television, dressed as Satan with the horns, with, let's just say, provocatively dressed people around him, dancing in very strange ways, obvious satanic imagery. This is called art. CBS News tweeted out that, hey, Sam Smith, we're looking forward to your performance. This is going to be worship. And so who do we blame for our problems? Well, in the current state of affairs, we blame the most functional, the most moral people for problems and punish them instead of actual wrongdoers. As Sam Francis wrote in the 1990s, a phrase that I repeat quite often, we are living in anarcho-tyranny. One of the first things that Lucifer ever did was try to get man to question what God told him or her. It was actually Eve where that dialogue happened. To question what is right or wrong. To question the distinction between adult and child. So when we look at the balloon story, the border story, the indoctrination of kids, we look at the chemical castration, almost all of it comes back to a cultural pathogen. And the race lady on MSNBC had a very interesting monologue that I want to ponder with you, and I want your honest thoughts, not hopium. I want your honest thoughts on this. So you just saw that satanic imagery. Joy Reid enjoyed it. She said that. She said she enjoyed the Grammys, but that's not exactly why I'm playing this tape. That's perverted and wrong and creepy and weird and also really disturbing. But she says something else that I think is actually interesting. So put aside the fact that Joy Reid is cheerleading for Luciferianism and listen to her contention where she says, we have won the culture war. It's a little bit long of a clip, but I want you to listen to it. Play cut 40.
I hadn't watched in years, but I actually really enjoyed it. Although I'm not sure everybody else did. It was, to put it mildly, a celebration of the very thing the American right has turned into its latest anti-wokeness boogeyman, diversity, equity, and inclusion. The show opened with Puerto Rican singer Bad Bunny singing 99% in Spanish. Then host Trevor Noah walked and talked through a room that was diversity, equity, and inclusion in human form. We saw the first trans artist win a Grammy, Kim Petras, who has a hit song with Sam Smith, the British singer who came out in 2019 as non-binary. Lizzo performed with her amazing choir of many-sized singers. Record of the Year went to Harry Styles, a British male singer who frequently puts on dresses to pose in magazines and is a sex symbol to women and men because of it. And there was a 15-minute epic tribute to the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. So yeah, the culture wars are over and the left won, like total defeat. I can only imagine the heads exploding in red states. They are not just losing. They literally cannot win. Cultural progression is relentless. Once people get a taste of modernity, they almost never go back willingly.
Once people get a taste of modernity, they almost never go back willingly. Well, I do. I see that montage she just played. Of course, she skipped over the Luciferian components of Sam Smith. And I say, boy, I yearn for a society that would appreciate Beethoven, Bach, Chopin, the symphony, the opera, understand Shakespeare and the Bible, and not honor trans singers and try to make a music ceremony into a political super PAC organizer. But is it true, as Joy Reid says? It's over. Joy Reid might as well be George W. Bush on an aircraft carrier with the mission accomplished banner behind her. She is claiming victory over us. Is she right? I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available, Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed, not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. There's a profound dialogue that Leonard Bernstein had with the Black Panthers at a very wealthy, elite home in Central Park West. This was must have been in the 1960s or 70s when the Black Panthers were really starting to rise. And they invited the Black Panthers in for kind of, it was similar to BLM, right? White guilt. And they wanted to learn from what was driving the Black Panthers. And the Black, Leonard Bernstein famously asked the Black Panthers, so what do you want? They said, we want to tear it all down. We want to burn it to the ground. We want to see the structures of systemic racism be burnt to a crisp. We want to destroy the fabric of white supremacy. And Leonard Bernstein said, then what? And the Black Panther responded, I don't know, man. You can't have a plan for everything. And I love that story because it's just so perfect. Because here's a bunch of upper high society New Yorkers that are trying to learn, and they were just kind of, they looked around, they said, yeah, this doesn't seem too thoughtful. It's easy to burn stuff down. It's hard to build stuff. So that's the question, is that Joy Reid, as she is celebrating, claiming victory over the culture wars, is it true? Well, the Grammys ratings itself were down, albeit she's right. The Grammys are largely indecipherable from a MSNBC broadcast for two reasons. Nobody watches it. And number two, it's full of left-wing, dogmatic, woke talking points. So in that regard, she's totally right. The Grammys are deeply unpopular, so that's totally true. Same to MSNBC, and it's out of control. Men can become pregnant. Race is everything. Nothing is deep or thoughtful or interesting. White men are the problem. All that kind of dogma. Not popular. 8 million people watch it. And also, here's the really interesting twist. It's sponsored by Pfizer. So it's got every component, right? It's got zero wisdom, hyper aggression, all the modern talking points. And then Joy Reid said something so interesting. As if she's trying to act smart and philosophical, she should just stick to the white people are racist thing. Because what she said is so easily disproven. Once people get a taste of modernity, they don't willingly go back. You're trying to tell me that once people get a taste of 8-year-olds being exposed to child pornography, they don't want to willingly go back? The evidence actually shows the opposite, Joy Reid. You're trying to tell me that when 7-year-olds get chemically castrated, that's immensely popular with people? I don't think so. Or modernity of widespread crime or open borders? Nothing suggests that that is necessarily popular with the vast majority of people. But for Joy Reid, it doesn't mean anything because she gets to pretend like she's some sort of oppressed minority group. When in reality, she gets to live a rather, I hate to use this word, but she gets to live an upper middle class privileged lifestyle. She doesn't actually have to live the consequence of all of her horrendous ideas. Look, here's the thing, is that we are the recipients. We have inherited an extraordinary civilization called the West. And there are foundational ideas that are built in that is considered common sense that the rest of the world do not consider common sense. And it's a Christian inheritance, protecting children, separation of powers, consent to the governed, independent judiciary, the structure of the United States Constitution. And modernity is an arson on the structure of the West. Modernity is a poison. Now, there are some things of modernity that, of course, we appreciate and enjoy. Being able to broadcast to you, that's kind of cool. Being able to take an Advil or a Tylenol when you have a headache or a fever, praise God for that. Some advancements in modern medicine are incredible. However, the values that modernity brings to the table, which Friedrich Nietzsche, to his great credit, predicted. He said, once you tear down all this Christianity, and he said God is dead, but he was not proclaiming it, he was lamenting it. He said, look, if God is dead, what the heck are you going to replace it with? And the answer is exactly what you saw at the Grammys. 120, 130 years ago, boys, 140 years ago, Nietzsche wrote that? Have to look it up. He was saying, okay, just so you know, the value of God in the West is dead, but then what comes next, of course, is the isms, the Nazism, the communism, the Marxism, the totalitarianism, and now that Grammy show. So where does that lead us? And I want to keep on exploring this question as we go through some of the news of the day. Has the left completely won the culture war? Is it over? Are you guys getting enough sleep? Probably not. Sleep is one of the most powerful factors to upgrading your health. The problem with sleep is many of you probably say, I want to go to bed at 9, but I don't fall asleep till 11:30. What if I told you that if you wanted to go to bed at 9, you could be asleep by 9:05? Daisy, who works on our team, I said, look, you got a big problem. You're not having enough magnesium, right? True story. And she tried it, and she came back to work the next day, and she said, Charlie, I don't even remember going to sleep. Boom, you fall asleep. Now, look, many of you guys probably say, but Charlie, I take melatonin. Well, there's an issue with melatonin. It's not altogether bad. Huberman believes it actually could increase symptoms of depression, but the problem with melatonin is that the body adapts, and you need to take more and more of it, and it becomes less effective. There's a much better approach, and you feed your body the natural melatonin building blocks and the transformers known as cofactors so that your body naturally produces melatonin. Thanks to a brand new sleep formula developed by my friends at Bioptimizers, you can experience the best sleep ever. After years of trial and error and sleep tracking, they finally launched a new groundbreaking sleep formula called Sleep Breakthrough. Sleep Breakthrough is a delicious sleep drink that supports your natural melatonin production and relaxation without creating a dependency so that you have your best night's sleep on demand. It targets 5 different sleep pathways to give you the best sleep ever. You'll fall asleep in minutes and you'll stay asleep throughout the night. And I know many of you say, Charlie, I want to go to bed at 10 o'clock, but then I end up falling asleep and I end up groggy and then I got a lot of coffee and the cycle continues. What helps you get the right amount of REM and deep sleep, and best of all, you'll wake up feeling rested and rejuvenated so you can have the best day possible. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk. That is sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code Kirk10, you can unlock special gifts with retail values of at least $20. This is a limited time offer. For select orders, go to sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk right now. That is sleepbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use code Kirk10 for a discount. People are saying, Charlie, I think that the left has won. Some people say it to be determined. Some people say, no, we are winning. It seems to be a mixture of both, but it is interesting because they are proclaiming victory, which again, just as a kind of interesting historical comparison, it feels very similar to Bush saying, mission accomplished. Play cut 47.
Any outlaw regime that has ties to terrorist groups and seeks or possesses weapons of mass destruction is a grave danger to the civilized world and will be confronted. We've begun the search for hidden chemical and biological weapons and already know of hundreds of sites that will be investigated.
Listen carefully to that language. First of all, I haven't listened to this tape until right now. We listened to it together for the first time, a long time. Did you hear what he said with connections to terrorist groups? How is that any different than Joe Biden talking about American conservatives right now? That is also a very deep topic that we can explore, that the very same language, tactics, security state operations that they used against Al-Qaeda, ISIS, to a lesser extent, Saddam Hussein, and the Taliban, Patriot Act, NSA, FISA courts, they're using all that permanent infrastructure to go after American conservatives. The stuff that Lady Graham told us to do, the stuff that George W. Bush told us to do, all of that anti-terror infrastructure is now being used against the American right. They just kind of, they've poured it all into that. So the language, of course, is parallel. As George W. Bush says, we're going after the terrorists. That's what they call us. But it's interesting. He had a big banner behind him that says mission accomplished. So Joy Reid says, we have won. Now, I'm not willing to issue an opinion either way, but this certainly plays into Joy Reid's argument. Cut 35, yesterday, Trans Lives Matter activist stormed and occupied the Oklahoma Capitol. They were not arrested. I want you to imagine if every one of these people had Trump for president flags, they would have been arrested. They would have been called insurrectionists. They would have been spied on. But since they are arguing for trans rights, whatever that is, it's deemed perfectly acceptable and peaceful. Play cut 35. So they're just chanting, trans lives matter, trans lives matter, in the Oklahoma Capitol. Now, that actually plays into Joy Reid's point, which is you're winning the culture war if you're allowed to then do the same thing the opposition does and not be held accountable. The trans people are able to storm capitals with no arrests or recourse or any issues. Trespassing, none of that. Meanwhile, there are people going to jail for months and years for very similar behavior, January 6th Capitol. I'm not talking about the violent stuff, which obviously we've never supported and never will. I'm talking about peacefully entering into the Capitol, which they are now charging people, not just charging people, convicting people of illegal trespassing. Now, remember that George W. Bush clip I just played about calling the other side terrorists? Just listen to how similar Maxine Waters sounded to George W. Bush talking about ISIS. Talking about Saddam Hussein, and now play cut 48.
It's the Marjorie Taylor Greene Republican caucus, and you heard what McCarthy said. He said he just loves her, and that he's going to do everything he can to protect her. You know, the average American person can see what is going on. We have these right-wing conservatives who are, you know, we have domestic terrorists in the House of Representatives. These people are extremists.
Domestic terrorists. That's the same language that George W. Bush used on a foreign aircraft, on an aircraft carrier in foreign waters, talking about the enemies in Iraq. The playbook is just 20 years old, just been totally flipped now on American conservatives to spy on us, infiltrate our groups, and then use terroristic type infrastructure to go after us. Cut 38, teacher suggests to students, this is your taxpayer dollars paying this teacher, that the students should pledge allegiance to the Progress Pride flag. Play cut 38.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So this teacher removed the American flag from her classroom, and all she has is the gay pride flag. That's it. That's all she has in her classroom now. That's certainly a sign in Joy Reid's direction. She was saying, we've won the culture war. That we feel like we're living in a conquered land, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. I want you to answer it as honestly as you can. Where you live, and I'm sure it actually in places like Oklahoma and Kansas, it's more in one direction than the other, but where you live this last summer, did you see more gay flags or American flags? I can say that in Phoenix, Arizona, without a doubt, I saw more gay flags in businesses and more American flags on residences. So it's a little bit split. It's not all one way or the other, but certainly in businesses, whether it be the national chains like Starbucks, so many of these others, they had the gay flag as if we are a conquered land. Let's play cut 42. Psychologist at Boston's Children's Hospital talking about caring for trans kids. You see, so much of this gets laundered through the medical industry of these mad scientists that are then going to manipulate children in their image, but it's all downstream from the winner or the loser of the cultural battle. Play cut 42.
So most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children, some as soon as they can talk. They might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early.
Kids know early, and therefore we should be able to use irreversible, incredibly aggressive and intrusive surgical means and methods to change their private parts. And Joy Reid and the American left, they are celebrating by how much quote-unquote progress they have made with this. But let's connect all of this together, because many of you feel that kind of national humiliation after the balloon and the border remains wide open and all these different components and things are happening. But it all comes to then people with power. You see, you're always going to have rich people. You're always going to have elites. You're always going to have generals. Hierarchies exist no matter what. Radical egalitarianism is one of the great lies of political philosophy, period. You're going to have somebody at the top of the hierarchy, always. That's how nature works. It's how political systems work. There is no avoiding it. So when you start to hear all this ideology, it's very tempting to say, well, that's just an elementary school and that's just a wacko congressman. No, 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 no. It all connects. Because the person responsible with defending our country also believes it. Play cut 41 of Mark Milley.
And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage. And I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out.
What caused that? I want to find that out. What happens in the culture wars does not stay in the culture wars. It starts to infect other parts of society. There is a new scene from Disney Plus, which unfortunately, if I were to guess, many of you in this audience probably have grandkids that watch Disney Plus, or your kids themselves. I encourage you not to do that. This is from Disney Plus, children's cartoon series called The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, singing about how slaves built this country and that we're the descendants of slaves. Play cut 9.
This country was built on slavery, which means slaves built this country. And we, the descendants of slaves in America, have earned reparations for their suffering and continue to earn reparations every moment we spend submerged in the systemic prejudice, racism, and
white supremacy
that America was founded with and still has not atoned for.
Slaves built this country.
But slaves were men.
And women.
And only we can free ourselves.
Emancipation is not freedom.
Jim Crow, segregation, redlining, public schools, feeding private prisoners. Where we become slaves again.
We're taking our freedom.
Slavery is wrong and evil, but slaves did not write the U.S. Constitution. Slaves did not write the Declaration of Independence. Slaves did not write the Federalist Papers. Slaves did not write the Magna Carta. Slaves did not write the Mayflower Compact. Even though the Declaration of Independence was crucial to freeing slaves, even though the very people that they criticize, Jefferson, Washington, Hamilton, Jay, Quincy Adams, all played integral parts in ending slavery, as we all have something in common. We're born into a world we did not create, but they say slaves built this country. Do you understand how sick that argument is? You know what it's saying? It's saying that slavery is good. I disagree. Slaves did not build this country. Slaves, in a very immoral and evil fashion, made a small group of people temporarily wealthy, but slavery is actually a very inefficient economic model. A country cannot get wealthy just strictly through slavery. Look at the countries right now that currently have slavery. They're really poor. You actually get wealthier by empowering every single person in your population to own private property, to control their own labor, to be able to trade and barter and take risks. What they're saying is that slavery is why America's wealthy. If that was the case, why was the free North far wealthier than the slave South? Why is that? And while we're at it, was it slaves that invented the airplane or the assembly line? I'm not saying that their contribution was insignificant. Of course not. But I refuse to acknowledge that the immoral paradigm and, quite honestly, tradition and current practice of slavery is beneficial. It's not, actually. Slavery doesn't help anybody. But their argument that they're saying is that anything you're enjoying now is because of slaves, and slaves built this country. That's just not true. But that's what's being taught in our schools, all over our schools. The West did not invent slavery. It abolished slavery. There are more slaves on the planet today than at any time in American history, in the Horn of Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, in the Middle East, on our southern border, in Asia. Human beings owning human beings, tragically, has been around as long as history has been recorded. And so it does beg a question of, why did we get rid of slavery? We got rid of slavery because of the promise of the Bible of human equality, both Old and New Testament narratives that talk about the evils of slavery, both Exodus and many of Paul's writings of neither slave nor Greek nor Jew. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So to summarize this all together, are we winning or are we losing? I think we have to be honest. The left has temporarily taken control of some of our most critical institutions. They are temporary occupiers, and that's a very important distinction. I think they are temporarily controlling so many of our opinion-shaping institutions and power centers. But like any occupying force, it's hard to control a country where you are philosophically incongruent with the fabric of the people that you're trying to dictate towards. This is why I've said for quite some time, you must think like a dissident in your own country. They might control those institutions, but that does not mean we have to bend a knee or to agree with them. And I'll close the hour with this. If their victory was inevitable, then their propaganda would not be necessary. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.